What's up, everyone? It was an almost perfect weekend for Orange County SC. If you just get rid of a second yellow card for Kevin Partida in the match at Monterey Bay, it is a perfect weekend. They secure second place with some luck going their way in some other matches. They get the victory in Monterey Bay. Hey, my lucky rum is doing its job. I did pour my last glass for this episode, so hopefully I can get another bottle before the second round, if we make it past the first round, which I'm hoping we do. Let's talk about all this. Welcome to the Podcast of Champions. This is the Orange and Black Soccer Cast.
This is the Orange and Black Soccer Cast, the first and only podcast dedicated to Orange County Soccer Club, its fans, and supporters. Follow us on Twitter at @OCSC_SoccerCast or on Facebook at Orange and Black Soccer Cast.
How's it going, Orange County? Welcome to another episode of the Orange and Black Soccer Cast, the first and only podcast dedicated to Orange County Soccer Club, its fans, and supporters. I'm your host, Ray Samora. I'm here to take you through this journey as we discuss all things Orange County Soccer Club. Helping me out this week, first, let's bring him on, the original Robin to my Batman. That's Dylan. Dylan, how are things going for you?
They're good. I would say I'm probably... You know, I just blanked on the butler's name. Alfred? As you can tell, I'm a very big superhero person.
Producer Alfred.
Andy. Yeah.
Producer Andy coming in with the assist there for you, Dylan, trying to save you.
Look, I'm just glad the team performed better than I'm doing so far tonight.
Hey, it's what it is. It's not about how you start. It's about how you finish, and I know you'll finish strong here. Also helping us out this week, we've got the person out in Vegas, Mr. Bradley. Brad, how are we doing? How are we feeling?
I'm a little insulted right now that Dylan does not remember the name of Mr. Alfred Pennyworth, the butler from Batman. But it's okay, you know. I was down in the Orange County area, watched some hockey. Win one, lose one that weekend.
I forgot you were in the area this weekend, unfortunately. I was busy with a bunch of stuff going on. I'm not going to mention what I was doing because Brad hates when I talk about that stuff. Also helping us out this episode, the bearded one himself, TV famous from the Monterey Bay match. We saw him out there barking some instructions or something to Orange County. I think you were sitting pretty close to the Orange County bench at the stadium, right?
Oh, yeah. We were my wife and I. Yeah, I said it, Brad. We were sitting probably five seats away, and then there was maybe from the barrier to the bench was another 10 feet. So yeah, we were, you know, 20 feet away from the bench. So it was pretty awesome. They could hear when I started singing County Road at the beginning of the game. But I'll tell you what, here was the coolest part, and I hope that they're watching right now. I don't know if they're on the feed or not, but as Carrie and I stood up and started to sing and raise the scarf, pop it, Dylan. There you go. I heard something behind me, and I turned and looked, and Elder and Carlos are up there about 15, 18 rows up, and they're blasting out singing County Road as well. And that brought just a huge smile to my face because I had no idea they were going to be there as well. It was so cool. So there was, me and Carrie and Eric Allison and his wife were there. And then I think there was an older couple there, and I'm pretty sure it was Kasipley's parents. So there was a small contingency of Orange County Soccer Club fans, but it was pretty fun. It was a good time.
And one thing I'm going to say before we actually get into the details of that match is just a word of advice to Monterey Bay. I love that they have the digital scoreboards. But when it's a foggy night, let's avoid the all white graphics on those scoreboards, because at least on the stream, it made it very difficult to watch because, you know, the digitalization of stuff, you get pixelation. I don't know what the words are. I'm trying to use big words and I suck at it. But it made it look very icky when you're trying to watch it, especially when it was all white. Was it the same in the stadium when you were there, Larry? Did the all white make it look weird or make it hard to see?
When Milan scored the goal, we could barely see down to that end of the pitch. And I was standing up and I was leaning over the rail. I'm like, did we score? We scored. Oh crap. We scored. Yes. Who scored? Of course it was Milan. So yeah, it was really, really tough to see. I'm actually, you said you could see me on the feed. I'm actually, I haven't gotten a chance to rewatch the game yet. I'm surprised that you could see me because I wouldn't want to drive in that. Let's just put it that way. It wasn't great.
Yeah. And again, the all white on those, digital advertising boards didn't help. It was like having your high beams on when you're driving, which when it's foggy, we all know you don't do that. It makes it hard to see. Let's talk about this match. It was a big, big victory. You know, not super important. They'd already secured home field advantage for the first round. You know, and they even went into this match with some rotations. Marcus Nakim is out. We had a Bryce Jamison in the starting lineup. Thomas Among was sitting for this match. A part of it, I think, just speaking with the people involved with the team was resting some players just to get prepared because, you know, maybe the playing surface isn't the greatest there at Monterey Bay's home stadium. And then part of it's just, you know, recovering from, you know, injuries that you don't really want to risk. You know, you at least are secure with a third spot probably with this match the way. You know, Monterey Bay has nothing really to play for once we find out, especially once we find out some of the later matches and what the scores were. Good result for Orange County. A 1-0 victory. Not the greatest, you know, score line ever, but they did what they had to do. They get the victory. And because San Antonio loses, they now move up to second in the West, which means if they win that first round matchup, they're guaranteed a second round home matchup, which could be very important because if you look at the table, the possible opponents, Phoenix or San Diego at home, which would be pretty darn cool. Thoughts on this match, Dylan, from what you could see when the bright white lights were not shining on the field?
I mean, wow. Oh, that was a little brutal. If we just discount those first 13 minutes and specifically one glaring mistake from a certain someone, look, we went on the road even when we had little to play for and Monterey had nothing to play for. And, you know, I think typically in the past we would drop points here. And now we've actually turned it around and we've actually managed to get 3 points. There's little bright spots in this match for me. I mean, literally 30 seconds after a horrifying mistake turns around and we crowd the middle of the pitch and actually break away. And I think once you get into playoff time and, you know, these games are going to be 1-0 affairs, you know, one goal affairs at least, being able to do that, break quickly and just overload a team's defense is going to be great. So right on time. I know we all panicked a few weeks ago when we lost to San Antonio. And I think I said then, hey, we just have to put this game behind us and move on. It seems like we did that. And, you know, from what we could actually see from this match, it was good enough.
Well, you mentioned the loss to San Antonio. I mean, I'm glad we at least got that loss out of the way against, you know, at that point of the season when it's not win or go home other than doing it during the playoffs, which is really awesome to see. Let me talk to you, Brad. Your thoughts on this match, and we're seeing some of the highlights, is difficult. Even when it's not the all-white scoreboard, it's difficult to see from what was going on. What were your thoughts on this match, and how were you feeling, you know, throughout this match? Were you nervous throughout the whole thing? Were you pretty comfortable? How were you feeling throughout this match?
I mean, luckily for me, I was watching the Hurricanes throw the game. I did go back and rewatch most of the game at a little bit of increased pace, so I kind of knew what would happen. But I really admired the team's kind of resiliency in the first 25, 30 minutes. They definitely had their backs against the wall early, had a crucial goal line clear. I think it was in like the 15th, 20th minute. And then from there, you know, the Milan goal was incredible. Just good team ball there from Langford. And after that, you know, just holding on for crucial 3 points, you know, can't complain about that. The only thing that sucks is Partita gets the double yellow. But we'll live with that. I think this team's still deep enough to hold off a Colorado Springs side in the first round.
Let me ask you, Larry, you were at the match, so I want your general thoughts of the atmosphere, how it all went, what you thought from the players. But I also want to get your thoughts on Langford. It seemed to me that they were playing him more in that hold up roll up top, which we really haven't seen out of him much this year. Almost sort of like what we saw like in past seasons from a Ugo Okoli, you know, trying to play that hold up play. And he made that great pass to Milan there on the goal. What are your thoughts? Is that maybe a role that Langford can be successful with, and maybe it's something we might see out of him in the playoffs? And again, thoughts on the whole match as well.
The match in and of itself was fun to watch. It really was. And being down there on the pitch like that is always a good time. That slot that Lanky was filling on Saturday night. We know he's going to be back next year. At least I'm like 90% sure he's going to be back next year. I would love to see that as a regular thing, him playing in that spot next year. I feel like Kevin Langford, he is the ultimate Swiss Army knife, even more so than what Mikko Koningas was back in 2021. Mikko, they played him up front, they played him on defense, they played him on the wing, they play him in the middle. And so far, Langford has played literally everywhere for us. And he's only been with the team for what, 2 months, 2.5 months, something like that? He is incredibly impressive. He's big. He is strong. He can play with his back to the goal. He can go at the goal. He can make a great pass for an assist. Because, I mean, let's be honest, that pass to Milan, he went over the top of two players, found Milan's chest, and Milan has an easy tap in. It was really fantastic. Couldn't see it really all that well because of the fog. But in looking at the replay, and I was watching the replay on my phone at halftime, it was a lot of fun to watch, and he's a talented player. And I think we should count ourselves very lucky that we picked him up when we did, and that he's going to be around for another year. Can't wait to see him play an entire 34 games for us, or, you know, 30 games. It'll be a lot of fun. He's talented and he's a good player. Here's that pass again. Have a seat, Roberts. Boom. Milan chest, tap in, goal.
Larry, are you spoiling news?
Am I spoiling news? No. When he came here, it was I would never give a spoiler. It was said that there was an option for next year. So if it was, to the best of my knowledge, a team option. If the team does not pick up this option, I'm going to have a long talk with Dan and Oliver and Morton and James and ask all of them what the hell's wrong with you. But they all know more than I do. So
I can't recall is. And maybe y'all can remember. I thought it was an option to buy, right? So, I mean, they still would have to negotiate on it, or is it an option for a second year loan? Does anyone recall?
Well, with an producer option, Andy's got us. So,
Andy's got
an option for 2024.
Yeah. So, I mean, it at this point, if it's for next year, Larry, I mean, it's not just that Orange County say, hey, we want him, we're keeping him. They still have to negotiate the, you know, there's probably a negotiated fee, and it depends on what that fee is for Orange County and if it's a reasonable fee for what they want to spend on him, knowing what their finances are.
I'll happily chip in.
You'll chip in for that. Sure. Let me ask you, Dylan. Kyle Scott looked pretty good on the pitch this past weekend. There was, I could probably count on, you need two hands to count some of the really good looks he had, some good passes. I believe there was like a Travella pass at one point in there. What are your thoughts on his performance for Orange County, and how important is he going to be going forward now that we're hitting the playoffs?
I'm really glad this is the midfielder you chose to ask me about. Not to be too negative about the other one. He's integral in the way that Eric Calvia was integral to the way that we tick. He's integral in the way that Aiden Quinn was integral to the way we played. We're definitely hearing it, watching probably as close to Morten Carlsen twerking as we'll ever see on the plastic table. But look, there was a different manager. that did not use Kyle Scott to the best of his ability, which was unfortunate. As you probably just heard all of the players singing, we have a manager now that is using Kyle Scott to the best of his ability, and I think that faith is being repaid. So I'm here for it. I'm really happy for him, and happy to see how he's kind of grown in fit in the role, and just, you know, how good we've been with him. Because we can get it done a few other ways. I mean, we can go very direct, but if you've got him as the man playing all of those balls all around the pitch, then it's just going a little bit better for us. And it gives us that little bit of control that I think we'll need to see out some of these playoff games.
And the confidence is there for Kyle Scott, him himself, not just the confidence that the coach has in him. And I'm looking at Kyle Scott as a player. He seems to really love being here. He's enjoying his soccer with this team. He's enjoying the moment, which I think anyone that follows sports knows. Like, if a player's not enjoying their work that they're having to do, the product shows on the pitch. And it looks like, and it's not just Kyle Scott, it looks like this team is really enjoying their experience out there each week, which is really nice to see. I know we've talked about this a lot, Brad, throughout the season. This is a very eerily similar season to the championship year 2 years ago, right? I mean, you're looking at everything going in as one of the hottest teams into the playoffs, a team that is playing pretty much as near to perfect as they can. Same type of seasons with a managerial change. How does that make you feel going into these playoffs? Does it give you more confidence going into the playoffs?
I mean, to see where we've been playing, one of the better teams in the league towards the end of the year, since really early July, it definitely brings us confidence, and I think it's rightfully reflected in some of the league members who cover the league. John Morrissey gives us the second highest chances of making it to the finals in the playoffs, which is something that we even are in a better spot than Sacramento. Sacramento is like the fifth most likely team to make the finals. So you can see not only is this team playing well, but I think the league is recognizing and rewarding them for how good they've been recently.
Larry, I want to give you your last thoughts on just this match, since you were the one there. The atmosphere, how did Monterey Bay treat you? And then we'll go into our final scores for the prediction game that we were doing this year.
The Monterey fans were incredibly classy. There, I texted Andy during the game. There was one guy sitting about 8 or 10 rows behind me, and man, he had some really fun smack talk. And it takes a certain talent to talk some good smack at your opponents. And this guy was, I mean, I'm not going to repeat all the things he said, but he was good. He was good. I got to meet super fan Dan before the game, and him and I talked for a few minutes. You'll notice that I'm wearing, I've got all the pink on tonight, as we all know, and I've got it in my hashtag there. It's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. They were giving out these pink shirts, and we bought the pink scarf. The crowd was very much into it. They've got their own Labanda out there. So that was 90 minutes of constant trumpet and drums, just no singing, just constant noise. You know, it's cool. It's their atmosphere. They had a big crowd. I mean, I don't know what it was. I would guess 6,000-7,000 people. And it wasn't, you know, 3,000 people sitting in the seats and 3,000 people over at Beer Fest. It was all 6,000-7,000 people in their seats cheering on their team the entire time. It was a great atmosphere. It was a lot of good people. Ugo caught my eye. I caught Ugo's eye before the game. He came running over, gave me and Carrie both a hug. So that was really cool. Monterey Bay, Logan just said it. Classy team, classy city, classy organization. Nothing but good things to say about them. And, you know, at the end of the day, we came away with the win. And that's the most important thing.
So with that, the regular season ends, and I don't know, are we going to do our prediction game for the playoffs, or is that the official end of the game, Brad? And now it's just the rest of the thing is just us talking and acting like we know stuff.
I feel like right now predictions, we should just call the predictions over, just like the standings are for regular season. However, with that said, I think there is interest amongst everyone to do some sort of playoff structure. I haven't figured out what that looks like because the league does one, I believe. God, what's their names? The USL show does one. So if we do one, it's either specifically tailored towards the Orange County fans or we're kind of just copying everybody else.
Maybe like what we can do instead, if you can put it together quick enough, is we could just do like a bracket pick 'em, and everyone puts in their bracket picks for the playoffs, and let's see who does the best, who gets the most
That's
wins.
Always an option.
Dylan doesn't like that idea, I don't think. He's scared.
Look, I'm just saying the last time that I did a bracket, Orange County didn't do so well in the conference final. And I know in the past I've said what we do has absolutely no bearing on what the team does, but I've been hurt once, and I am hesitant to be hurt again.
But there's the results for the final. Unfortunately, Mark McNulty did not score a goal for me, but I did get some points, I think, for at least the victory that I predicted. But it looks like Taylor, although Kayvon made it close at the end, it looks like Taylor is the all-around victor, right?
That's why it's her show.
Perfect. So we wrap up the regular season with Orange County, one of the hotter teams in the league. And now they head into the playoffs as the two seed. And what is their reward as the two seed? They get to host El Paso Locomotive at Championship Soccer Stadium this weekend. El Paso had the better of Orange County in the regular season, a win and a win for El Paso in the first match, a draw in the second match between the two teams. Does that scare anyone that Orange County wasn't able to beat El Paso in the regular season? Or is it different now that it's, you know, because the first El Paso match we lost was when it was the beginning of the season type Orange County. They weren't really finding their footing yet. And then the second was a draw, so we didn't lose there. Is there any fear? I'll just raise your hand if there's any fear facing El Paso, Dylan.
Yeah, there's fear. It's not about the fact that we haven't beaten them this year. It's about the fact that they've been a mixed bag of form. I mean, they conceded 4 to Memphis, and no disrespect to Memphis, but that's not for everybody. A 0-0 draw with Loyal beating Oakland 2-1. You know, if we play down to their level, as Orange County quite often does with teams that are, I mean, I guess it's on merit at this point, right? We've played 34 matches, not as good as us. We tend to play down to their level, and yeah, like Larry just put in the chat, it's the playoffs, anything can happen. So that worries me. That being said, the way that we've bounced back from some poor results of late makes me think that we should be okay.
You look at the other potential teams that Orange County could have faced, depending on where they would have finished. There was a potential for a Phoenix first round matchup. There's also the potential for a Colorado Springs first round matchup. Brad, is El Paso the better of the three opponents for Orange County heading into the playoffs? Or would you have rather faced one of those other teams?
El Paso, I mean, I would have rather seen like Oakland get in, knowing that they've been struggling, or Monterey Bay. We would have not been in hosting. I would have liked to see Oakland get in, knowing that they've been struggling recently. I think that would have been a good matchup for Orange County had Oakland slotted into seventh. With that said, I got really no complaints about playing against El Paso. I think Calvillo is going to have his sights out for a revenge game, but should be a fun matchup.
It should be very fun. Larry, is El Paso your pick out of the potential opponents that, you know, if we would have placed third or fourth at the final standings, are you happy that we got second in El Paso, or would you rather maybe picked third or fourth and got Phoenix or Colorado Springs? Or I guess out of those three teams, who is your preferred and who would have been the scariest option?
Scariest option is always going to be the teams that are your true rivals. And that's what's going to make the second round of the playoffs so incredibly fascinating a week from Saturday. Once we take down El Paso, and we're going to win. I'm not afraid of El Paso. Okay. They're a good team. All the teams in the Western Conference are good teams with the exception of Vegas. Okay. Vegas just isn't very good. That's a fact. there are of the, how many teams in the Western Conference? 12, 13, 14? I've lost track. I can't keep track.
It is 12.
But we're talking about 12 teams, of which 10 of them going into the final day were either in the playoffs or had the possibility of going into the playoffs. Okay, so that makes a very, very dangerous division, top to bottom. Very dangerous conference. Whether it's El Paso, Colorado Springs, those are two teams that I'm not worried about. I don't care how good Colorado's been playing. My concern is San Diego Loyal. Everything to play for. Everything to play for. They are going. They are no more. It is the ultimate lose and go home for San Diego. That is going to motivate them. And they're a good team. Otherwise, they finished 57. We finished 57. So San Diego, I'm concerned about. I hope that Phoenix beats them so that we get Phoenix in the second round. El Paso doesn't scare me. Colorado Springs didn't scare me. For that matter, Sac, Charleston, everybody in the Eastern Conference. I'm not scared of any of these teams, not with the way this team has played over the last 26 weeks, 26 game days. We're the best team in the league.
Dylan, are you as confident as Larry in this first round matchup? Larry says there's no doubt we're going to win this match against El Paso. Are you as confident as he is?
There's always a level of doubt. Look, we snuck in 2 years ago. Well, we didn't sneak in 2 years ago, but there's a bit of it. Excuse me. There's a bit of it where once the expectation is there that you'll do well, it's almost more fearful. At least it is for me. Now, I'm not a professional athlete, so I don't go into every match thinking, hey, we're going to take 3 points from this, or hey, we're going to advance from this. I like to sit in fear, or actually stand in fear, as you've seen it many a match, Ray. And specifically one I can think of in the past was Orange County Reno in 2018, where I could hardly stand to watch the last 10 minutes. So, look, regardless of what happens from this point on, what Orange County managed to do this year, what the players and what the staff managed to do this year with such a turnaround in 5 months was hard to believe after what it was for 15 months. So they deserve a lot of credit and a lot of pride for getting to 17 wins, for getting to 57 points. And showing they can beat anyone, right? I mean, we beat Sacramento on the biggest night of their, not of their club career, because, they've won a cup and they were in the open final, but we can show up when it matters. Yeah, of the season, biggest night of their season, sure. We can show up when it matters and we can beat whoever we want to beat. We showed that 2 years ago in Tampa. I hope that we can show that again.
Here's the thing, right? And I'll let you chime in really quick, Brad, but let me just share my thoughts on this is, the team proved during their run, and they've proven over the last couple matches that they can, take some punches, just play some solid defense and come away with victories. They did it against San Antonio short a man because of, the red card, for McNulty. They did it again against Monterey Bay, when, it's tough. You're on the road. It's foggy. There's emotions at the stadium because everyone there knows it's the final match of the season for them. There's no hope in the playoffs. They've proven that in these last two matches. They're playoff ready, right? I mean, these have been like playoff matches these last 2 weeks for Orange County, right, Brad?
Yeah, I mean, these are kind of winning meant placements, and I'll even argue the last three matches with San Antonio, with Monterey Bay, and, man, I forget the third opponent already. But these, we talked, getting what, 6 points was good, and I think we ended up getting all 9 points out of those last three games, and look where it took us into second. It was Oakland. That's what I was thinking, but I didn't want to sound wrong again. I already said we played Colorado Springs in the first round. But this team is performing very well. You can look back to April, May with where the team was, and if you were telling us, you know, we'd be second, everyone in this room would take it. We'd laugh at you and say, you know, no way this team ends up in second the way we've been playing. But that's the reality of where we sit now. We had a 9-game winning streak in July, August, and now we're sitting in second.
An amazing turnaround of the season. And let's talk to one of the people responsible for that amazing turnaround. And that's the head coach for your Orange County Soccer Club, Coach Morten Carlson. Let's watch this really quick again. Now, Morten, I got to ask you, we're watching that video. That table does not look like it's the most secure, most steady table there. How nervous were you up there that table was either going to collapse, tip over, what was going on in your mind in that whole scenario right there?
It was first. Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me. I didn't think, to be honest. So I just went up there, very unstable table. And once up there, I realized this is not good. So a little bit cautious with my jumping. And then guys were spraying water and fluids in my eyes, so I couldn't see anything. So it could have ended much worse than it did. Thank God it didn't.
We're definitely glad it ended up all okay there. Let's talk about this team, because obviously the team wasn't performing up to expectations early in the season. You took over, took a little while to, you know, get the momentum going, but you went on a great run, a little stumble towards the end, but now it seems you have figured it out again. We were just talking earlier that you can tell with this team that there is just a great chemistry that has been built with these players. They all seem to be very happy to be on this team, and they're happy playing in these matches, which isn't always the case. I'm sure you've experienced it in your career, throughout your careers, that sometimes players aren't happy in situations, but it seems like this team is excited to play for Orange County and play for you as coach. How did you sort of work that in from the early season struggles to where we are now? What did you implement with this team to get that camaraderie and that chemistry together that we're seeing from these players at this point of the season?
Yeah, I think when I eventually got here in end of January and met all the players and the staff, it was already a good group of players. And a group of players that, you know, want to be with each other and help each other. And I think I've been a part of creating maybe a platform for everyone to have the same direction, you could say. And then you see also the trust and the belief in each other. And then maybe the camaraderie that you talk about, it looks extra strong or like more present. I think it's a mix of the structure and the direction that's been given, and then each player now is growing in their position. So I think it's always been there, and now it's just being backed by the organization and the results, of course.
And you know, so the team finishes the season second in the West, which I would probably assume there would be no one back when you took over the reins of this club that thought that was maybe a possibility, at least the way they had looked at that point. If we go back, if we had you on the show that first week you took over, how confident would you have been if we would have said, can you get to second place by the end of the season? How confident would you have been back then? And going forward, how confident are you heading into the playoffs now?
I remember myself telling the players, our first goal was to get into the playoffs. And once we were there, I also said to them, I'm going for the first place now. We had 10 points to Sacramento, 11 points at the time. So I was actually ambitious enough to say it, also to encourage the players to keep dreaming and keep chasing and not settle just on 8th or 7th position, but always have that mindset of you know, keep attacking, keep getting up there. But I can also be very honest and say that after the game, I was when I saw that we were in second place with the results in San Antonio, then I couldn't really get my head around it. It was strange to see that all the hard work that we've been doing, that we ended up in second place with our from where we started. So a little bit of both. I was ambitious, but I was also realistic that would be difficult.
To go off of things being difficult, how are you going to keep the team, or how do you plan to keep the team focused and confident in what is now, I guess, technically a knockout tournament?
I think the first test we had in that, you know, to staying focused was after our 9-game winning streak and 11 games unbeaten, and we met El Paso at home, actually, which was the first opponent to really try to ruin our game. So you could say that was a playoff game, and then we had a 3-4 games where we didn't get the wins. So it kind of has dialed everybody in again. I think when you see the San Antonio game, that was a playoff team. I think we acted like a playoff team. I'm confident that we'll be dialed in for El Paso on Saturday.
Away from the team and more for you, are you a bigger fan of Morton's on Fire or the Duck Sauce remix with fans just saying your name? I mean, which chant's your favorite?
That's a good question. I have enough interaction with the players every day, so I would go with the fan edition and pick that one.
I'm sure they'll love to hear that.
All right, Morton. First of all, congratulations on making it to the playoffs as the number 2 seed. I know I was saying before you came on, if you asked any of us earlier on, especially when you took charge, would we be in the spot? All of us probably would say no, and yet you were confident enough to say we would be. So, like, kudos to you and the team on that. I got two questions for you. The first one is looking forward to this week. We play El Paso. We have a draw in September, and we lost in all the way back, and I believe it was early April. Are you confident with what the team is doing right now? Do you have a strategy that you are confident that you can get a goal against this El Paso team? Because we haven't scored on them so far this season.
No, if you divide the two games, the first one in El Paso, I think it was a different time, and I remember also going into El Paso with a couple of injuries. So and if you look at if you don't look at the result in the latest game against El Paso, it was a game where we allowed, I think, 0 shots on target. Probably could have had a couple of penalties. I'm confident that, you know, we're gonna analyze the latest game, of course, and the last couple of game of theirs, and then. I'm pretty sure that we will have a. No, I know that we'll have a game plan ready for Saturday, and I have a good feeling.
Awesome. So a lot of highlights since you took over. Is there one specific game from planning to execution and like seeing what happened? What was your favorite game that the team so far played this season?
Can I take two? I would actually say Sacramento away, with what they come with, and also the changes that we had to do. But for me, that was also, a game in for this league, an extreme environment. You know, 23,000 people their celebration day, etc., and we were completely focused and followed the game plan. And the second one is actually San Antonio home, the 1-0 win. Also, you know, we lost three rounds earlier. We lost 4-0 down there. We didn't compete at all. And the level of improvement from the two games, it was like this. That was pleasing to see that the players were was ready and had the mentality to fight back and put things right.
All right. So I may have lied. I have one more quick question for you. So at the end of the year, we typically do an award show where we nominate, you know, stuff like Player of the Year. What would be your nomination for Goal of the Year for Orange County, if you have one in mind?
Oh, yeah, it could be Owen Lamb against when was that? Was it Pittsburgh or something? Charleston, maybe? The Charleston game where he takes it and hammers it with his right foot from the left.
I can't believe remember it the was game. Charleston.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good candidate, I would say. The technical execution of it. Surprisingly, that we see that from Owen. But that was a good surprise. I'm joking.
I would say good memory. It was the Charleston match Owen Lamb had that goal. So that was good memory there, Coach.
Thank you.
Hey, Coach. Larry here. First of all, it was great to see you up in Monterey on Saturday. It was a lot of fun getting to sit right there next to the bench. I kept looking for you to like point over to me and, you know, get me in the game, but that's fine. I'm not mad at you. Maybe next time. I got a couple questions and a fan question. So May 1st, you take over the team. At that point, the team is sitting at 1-3-4, I think. In the month of May, you win one, you draw one, you lose three. Are you concerned at this point?
No, that's actually a very good question. No, I wasn't really, because at that time there was a lot of highlights or focus points for us, and one was get the players a little bit more fit and players back from injury. So we had to play players out of position, some players only with 30 minutes out of 90, and according to the rehab program. So I knew there was a lot that we had to take care of before we could really measure the team. And I also had the I remember looking at the schedule, thinking we have plenty of time to get this right. Of course, when you go to Oakland and get beat 3-0, it's of course concerning. Also, the way it happened, if I recall. But then on the Wednesday we beat Sacramento at home. I wasn't really concerned. I trusted the process, you could say.
Well, it's a good thing that you did, because from that point on, you were 15-2-4. So I would call that pretty good success. That's just my opinion. What do I know? There's a couple of fan questions out there. Let me scroll back here, see if I can find it. Chuck Eldridge. Chuck wanted to ask, why Lopez over Santana as a backup? Two games each one with very different results. I hear you got this young kid, first professional start in front of 23,000, and tosses a clean sheet on the team that at that point was the most high-powered offense in the league. What went into making that decision?
Yeah, that's also a good question. Juan has Santana has improved incredible this season. And of course, putting a young player on in front of 23,000 and be goalkeeping like that, it's incredible, and also shows his potential for the future. And we were, I was thinking, you know, we would have a little bit more experience. Also, you know, I 100% agree that he's a very good keeper, but still very young. So that was. Not the concern, because I don't say it's a concern, but that was the calculation of having a more experienced player. and in case that we had to also, if Colin was out for a longer time, we needed two goalkeepers, and we didn't know at the time, so that was the reason why.
Got it. Okay. One last question. Let's just go on hypotheticals. When Orange County Soccer Club lifts the cup in about 4 or 5 weeks, however long it is, what is your go-to celebratory drink?
Oh. Yeah. Also, I like a espresso martini, but that's not a a celebration drink, I would say. Whiskey on the rocks, maybe.
Yeah. Whiskey rocks. All right, great. That's it for me, Coach. Thank you so much. Really appreciate you. It's been an awesome season, and we're really looking forward to the next few weeks.
Thank you. So am I, and I believe it was your anniversary or something that you?
No, hold on, wait. We're gonna make Brad cringe up there. I got married last Wednesday, and we spent our honeymoon in Monterey with you guys.
That's how it was. Congratulations. It was nice to see you there in Monterey. And next time, get your boots ready.
because you need a 53-year-old fat guy with bad knees on the pitch for you.
We can fit you in. Can fit you in.
I wanted to hear Coach say that he was trying to tell you to shut up. He's the coach. Stop trying to coach my players out on the pitch.
possible.
But Coach, really quick before you go, anticipating a sellout at the stadium this weekend for the first round of the playoffs. Message to the fans: what do you want from them when they attend this match?
I just want as you know, the feeling. If you can all recall the Monterey game. I think the game picture also helped the atmosphere. But whenever the guys can feel the fans, it pushes them forward. You know, like being vocal and, you know, supporting the guys and cheering them on. You probably hear this a lot, but it's you know, from a former player being on the pitch, it definitely helps you feeling that that energy. From the fans and the love that I keep saying. So energy and love.
Awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, that is head coach for your second place in the West, Orange County Soccer Club, Coach Morten Carlson. And maybe Brad, maybe we can introduce him to some Malort as a celebratory drink if they if and when they lift that cup.
No. He deserves so much better than that. Come on.
Thank you so much, Coach, for joining us.
Thank
you. We'll go from one member of the Orange County, the head coach. We'll go to now the more front office side of things.
He can have some Malort.
We'll share that with Dan. Dan, welcome back to the show. We're bringing you in at a fun time for this club, right? A lot of big, interesting things, playoffs, and I'm sure you're excited that it's a home playoff match for hopefully two rounds at least. If we get past this first round, we're guaranteed a second round home match. And then, you know, just some stability in the stadium. Dan, how are you feeling as the business side of things on this team? No specifics, just how are you feeling right now?
So to use an English expression, I'm as happy as Larry, who obviously is very happy this week. So, and obviously if I can pass on my congratulations, I didn't make it to Monterey Bay. My week ended up being very long and very tiring in a good way, but I didn't make it to Monterey. But I know you did, Larry. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And commiserations to your wife. So look, it's been quite a week. And I'm very pleased that what started in a council meeting, in a council chamber, ended in a council chamber. And 12 months is a long time and everything's very, very different. And, you know, the fans showed how much the club meant to them 12 months ago. And we did a lot of work and the city staff were fantastic. And we got the result we wanted, which is 10 more years in the stadium, which is what you all wanted. And we were pleased to be able to deliver it for you.
And I would assume it doesn't hurt that the fans actually showed up this season. I mean, the house was packed pretty much, especially the latter half of the season. But for most of the season, compared to what you, when you look back 2-3 seasons ago, you had a good turnout for the full season. I'm sure that helps when the city council sees, hey, they're actually bringing people to the park. They're bringing people to the city. Obviously, these people aren't just coming and leaving without spending money. They're coming to the game spending money. They're eating at local restaurants before matches. I'm sure that was a big part of the city's decision. How important was for you guys as a club to get fans to the stadium and encourage them to be there each and every week?
Yeah, look, obviously it can't hurt. You know, we've made this whole thing that we're a community club trying to bring people together. So it works a lot better when you actually bring people together. And, you know, we've sold out the last 5 Saturdays. And the first one of those was July the 1st for the 10th anniversary game. And Councilman Larry Agron was at that game. And I think he was surprised at how full it was because he'd never seen it that full before. And obviously it has continued to be that full since. And I think at one point when I was up making some remarks to the council, we were talking about, there was one element of it around naming rights. And they were saying, you know, why do you think that you should be able to sell these things and, you know, pay us percentage? I'm like, well, look at the value we bring. You know, we're filling the stadium with fans, but a full stadium means more sponsors. Obviously, the team doing well means more games on television, and that just increases the value and the visibility. And when we won our national championship 2 years ago, that can't be a bad thing for Orange County, and that can't be a bad thing for Irvine. And as we go into hopefully another playoff run, it's great. All eyes on Irvine, and that's the sort of thing city councils really value.
I'll pass it off to you, Dylan.
Well, you just, you know, we'll keep it on the stadium before I just go to utter nonsense. Our producer would like to ask you, what do you attribute the change in the approach from the city? Because obviously, 13, 14 months ago now, thank God for a few of these listeners getting in front of the city council and begging, pleading, and to know, not to discredit your part, a big part of you doing your best as well to keep us in Irvine. Having listened to the city council meeting, it seemed to go a little bit better. What changed?
That's a good question. I think there's some practicalities to it. So whatever the opportunity that may or may not have been seen as valuable in the past disappeared for a variety of reasons. Some of it was, you know, the legality of whether a team like that, who were still in our league at the time, could play in the stadium. Frankly, a big part of it was the fans turning up in the numbers that they do. I mean, we are, in terms of local elections, there's probably on any given, well, on the recent game nights in the stadium, there are probably 10 times as many fans in the stadium as is the average margin of victory in a local election. So I think them seeing the power of the fans, I can't imagine hurts. And the way I approached it, I was only 7 days into my new role at the time. I actually didn't know a lot of the history. I hadn't been involved in a lot of it. So I sat them down as a former government official myself, albeit a different type of government. I sat down and said, look, I'm not quite sure how we got here, but can we start again? And we sort of started again. And I think over the last 12 months, we've built up a really, really valuable, strong relationship with the city staff, the ones we deal with day to day. We had obviously lots of meetings with the city manager, who I had a war of words with in the media before I'd even met him. So I sat down and met him afterwards. We got on very well, actually. We talked about lots of things. We talked about the past and we talked about the present, and we talked about the potential future, and we worked with their staff. And you know, the staff at the City of Irvine like seeing the stadium full. They like coming to watch the games. They enjoy seeing this beautiful, you know, soccer specific stadium in a league of some quite iffy grounds around the USL. I think they are proud of the venue and they like to see it being used. So we started a new dialogue and we had great conversations, and I think we created some compelling arguments. The team has grown obviously in the past 12 months, and whatever it was enough to persuade the staff and obviously the council members, who took the staff report recommendation, and they gave us what we've wanted all the way along.
shifting away from your fun and your diplomatic skills, what whiskey, and I mean whiskey without an E for you, what whiskey is Morton getting at the end of the season?
That's a great question. So it depends. Depends whether our season is one more game or four more games. But there is a, this is important, I think, to me. There is a culture of whiskey, not as in, you know, players are drinking whiskey at halftime, but there is a culture of whiskey in the sense of, you know, I think you know the story. I only joined the club because James Keston was a guest on my whiskey podcast. So there are plenty of times where James and I exchange bottles of whiskey and Oliver and I exchange bottles of whiskey. If we win the championship again, I imagine there will definitely be a very nice bottle going his way. I need to talk to him about his tastes. You don't want to buy him a nice bourbon if he's a Scotch man, and vice versa. So as we spend more time together over the next, hopefully, month, then we can start talking about potential whiskies to be consumed.
Hey, Dan. First of all, man, what a great season this has been for the team. And I'm actually going to ask you the same question I just asked the gaffer. He takes over in May. The team goes 1-1-3. That's not good. So, concern from the front office? No concern? Tell us what the front office is thinking at that point.
So, I mean, people have slightly different definitions of the front office. The front office in the purest sense, which is my sort of side of the business. We sell tickets, we sell sponsorships, we sell merchandise, we do government relations. They always say it's really interesting. I've been doing quite a few this year. I've been talking to sort of students, graduate students about careers in sport. And one of the things you have to say to people is, look, you can't in the front office be thinking about results, because you have to sell those tickets, that merchandise, those partnerships, whether your team are top or bottom of the league. So, you know, obviously I love the sport of football. This is why this is the dream job for me. I'm not very good at separating what should be a pure business from, you know, the fun of being at matches and seeing us win. But, you know, particularly when we did not start well, and the crowds, albeit on average in sort of March and April, were higher than the previous year, they weren't leaps and bounds ahead of where we'd been in previous years. So, you know, I sort of sat the team down and said, let's not think about, you know, whether we're winning or not. Let's do our job. And so were we worried about whether Morton was the answer? I think we were worried about whether we could do our jobs, which is, how do you keep entertaining people and how do you keep filling a stadium? Now, obviously, the converse of that is our job becomes a hell of a lot easier when the team goes on a 9-game run. We always joke after games, the social media folks, it's very hard to write the caption after you've lost. You know, do you just write, we go again, or, you know, see you next week? It's a lot easier when you're punning away after multiple victories. We get very excited in the front office when we're doing well. It does make our job easier, but theoretically our job is to be resilient and try and fill out that stadium even if the team is bottom of the league.
Gotcha. Now let's shift gears just a little bit. We have at least two home games coming up. I think we're going to get three. I think we might even get a fourth. Can you commit right now to me and to the fans out there to getting Robbie Williams to come and sing the national anthem? Can you do that, Dan? Everybody's looking because nobody but me and you know who Robbie Williams is.
Hey, that's a teen pop star idol back from England. From
the UK. No, I'm aware who Robbie Williams is.
All right, come on, all right, Larry.
We're not as naive as we look.
Well, y'all are kind of young, though.
I have to say, I've been with the club 3 years. One of my favorite things is how much we've improved the national anthem performers. It's one of those things where, you know, you've got to find whatever it is, 17 performers a year. And we've had some absolutely splendid singers. You know, sometimes we've had, you know, we've had amazing groups from schools and choirs. We've obviously had our friend, the guitarist. And we've had people from American Idol and local rock bands. I probably spend a disproportionate amount of time trying to get that right, because I think it really does set the tone for a game, particularly when you, the fans, turn up in big numbers and get to your seats early. A good anthem can really get you going. And I think the team appreciate that. And Oliver and I talk about it quite a lot, and he implores me to have the highest quality possible anthem singers, particularly for the big games. And so that's another part of what we in the front office try to do.
I was going to nominate Dylan, but you said high quality, so I guess that takes away that.
Yeah, that's definitely not going to make me.
Last one from me, Dan. When we do lift the cup, what is your go-to? What are you going to be celebrating with that night?
So I remember when we won last time, and some of this will depend on geography. So I remember last time drinking an Aberfeldy 12, because that was the best whiskey in the bar in the hotel that we were staying in St. Petersburg. And so that's what we drank, because we were in the hotel bar. So if we are at home, I will bring a whiskey from my collection, probably a Balvenie 21. And if we're away, then it will be whatever whiskey they sell in the hotel bar there. And obviously, you know, we don't want to get ahead of ourselves. Saturday is the game. But, you know, I'm sure Jeff Garner would be looking to see us at some point later in the playoffs. And I imagine we would probably expect him to buy us a whiskey if we go over there.
All right, that's it. I'm all done. Thanks, Dan. It's always a pleasure having you here.
All right, Dan, I'm going to kind of rewind things back a little to the 10-year agreement that the team just signed with the city. First is a clarification question. Is it a 10-year deal, or is it a 5 with a 5 add-on, and whose decision is it for the extra 5 years?
Excellent question. We've been having this debate. My position very much is 5 plus 5 does indeed equal 10, but it is a... It's a five-year deal with a five-year extension on the same terms. So there will need to be discussion in 5 years. But if everybody is still friends at that point, then it's like contractually, so both sides have to agree to the extra 5. But if you're not going to extend at that point, you would need to say we don't want to. So it is in the way that the MOU used to roll over every year that we were under before. We're working on the assumption that it's 5 plus 5, but we're calling it 10. And in the press release that the city co-signed with a lovely quote from the mayor, they didn't disagree. They didn't try and call it 5 plus 5. So we are talking about staying in this stadium until 2033.
Awesome. And a follow-up question. It looks like the only sticking point the city had from that meeting was with the naming rights deal. And I'm guessing my question is kind of a two-part, because up until now, the city's not really made an effort to have any naming rights or put anything on the scoreboard. And I don't want you to kind of talk yourself into a corner, but is this something the team brought up to the city and then the city saw it and they kind of were like, this is something that we need to get our hands a little bit more into? Because that's kind of how it felt from a spectator point of view.
The way it works in not just the city of Irvine, but everywhere, is you have officials who are full-time staff who make recommendations, and you have elected officials who make decisions. So a report was presented. They looked at the report. They gave their views. We heard their views. They voted on their views, and that is the basis of the contract that goes forward. So I am pleased with the deal that was done. I worked on the contract. I've seen the new contract. I'm signing the final version. I'm very comfortable that it gives us all of the things that we need as a football club to move forward for the next 10 years.
Awesome, man. Congratulations to you and the team for the extra 10 years. You know, this is something that we've all been hoping would get done. Obviously, building a stadium is that we own is kind of the preference, but Championship Soccer Stadium is absolutely beautiful. It's probably my favorite stadium I've visited in the league, and the fact that you guys play there every week is pretty awesome.
Yeah, look, we love the stadium. The fans love the stadium. I look forward to the team playing at the stadium until I basically look like Larry, which I imagine I will at some point in the
mid
30s.
Love you too, buddy.
Dan, I want to ask just one, maybe two quick questions. And then I have, I believe, a fan question or a question that I think came up in the fan chats. I know going back to the early beginning of the whole stadium stuff, there was talk, I think, from the city about exploring the possibility of moving to artificial turf in the stadium because of the maintenance costs and stuff like that. I can't recall if this is in the new proposal, if there's like a guarantee that it'll remain natural grass. Is there a preference? Is there something that the club will be looking at towards, or is there anything in the new contract that says it has to be one or the other?
There is no reference to the playing surface anywhere in this contract. I think it's a matter of public record that the city of Irvine would like their stadium and the neighbouring facilities to be under consideration for a potential World Cup team to practice here. They've, like very many places across America, and I guess Canada and Mexico, they've applied for the opportunity to do that. The more grass on your field and the less turf, the more likely it is that it would be accepted as a venue. So at the moment, there is nothing written down. There's no discussion that I'm aware of around changing the playing surface.
If the city was to go and vote to change it, is there any opposition from the team? That is, does the team prefer the natural grass? Because obviously, I think players and athletes prefer natural grass as opposed to the artificial stuff. So I wonder what the club's stance or what the club's opinion would be on that.
Yeah, I mean, look, we love playing on grass. We love having a soccer-specific stadium. There's teams in our league that play on turf. There's teams in our league that play on warning tracks. I think for us, we're very happy with the facility that we've got. Now, there's turf and there's turf. So, you know, there's, as you saw in Sacramento, I didn't travel to the game. I could barely watch it on television, partly because I'm colorblind and couldn't see the difference between the two teams, but also because all the lines all over the field. And so that didn't help. So, you know, there are versions of turf nowadays which are not terrible to play soccer on. So you'd like to think if they were to change the surface, it would be the better version of it. And I know last year when we were, the discussions were different. I think we would have accepted turf if that's what they, if their stadium still. We would prefer grass is the short answer.
Perfect. One last question. In the event Orange County travels maybe to a Sacramento or out east for the final, how does it work with the league and the allocation of tickets? Does Orange County get a block of tickets that guarantees their fans can attend matches, or is it strictly just that whatever team is hosting controls all the power and they figure out the way they want to sell the tickets?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. My understanding for a playoff game is, you know, would have an allocation tickets and then people can buy more. And so, you know, when we hosted playoff games 2 years ago, a couple of teams went above the like minimum allocation, and we were happy to provide that. I imagine that would be the same. We have, when the only team that, if we continue, the only team that could host us is Sacramento. We have an excellent front office, the front office relationship with them. And it's a big enough stadium that I'm sure they could give us enough tickets for a group that would travel. For the final, it's slightly different. I think there is an obligation to provide tickets. I mean, I think everybody who wanted one at Tampa Bay got one. And obviously it was a long trip and some people didn't go because it was still COVID times. But I imagine wherever we would play the final, were we to get there, we would make sure that there are enough tickets for everybody. So there are that's not, as we go into the playoffs, of all the things you should worry about going into the playoffs, getting tickets for away games and finals should be fine.
And then also limiting the amount, only offering the minimum amount of tickets, say if we host San Diego or Phoenix in that second round matchup. Let's try and make sure we only have to give the minimum amount of tickets in those situations, because we know those fans will probably travel well to our stadium.
You say that, Ray, but interestingly, look, I mean, I grew up in Europe. Away fans are part of it. I remember there was one disgusting day where my team were hosting Man United on the last game of the year, and we actually gave the Man United fans three of the four sides of the stadium because they all wanted to come, and they all live in London anyway. They all wanted to come and pick up the trophy. But a few away fans in the stadium is not a bad thing, and it's a challenge for you to make sure you sing louder.
Nah, it's a joke. I get it. I love the away fans. I always make sure I go stop by and say hi to them whenever I'm at the stadium, just because that's, like you said, that's part of the sport. And that's what's unique about this sport compared to other sports. I remember my friend who's from Newcastle, when he first few years in America with us, went to a basketball game, and he thought it was weird that all the fans just intermingle with each other. Like, where do the away fans sit? I'm like, you just sit wherever you want here. So that's one thing I love about soccer, is the away fan support, and you know, the way that all works out. We've gone a little bit longer than we normally do, but Dan, any last messages to the fans heading out to the stadium? I'm sure you all are anticipating a sellout for this match. Any message for the fans, anything they need to know about as far as maybe traffic wise or logistics, what to expect at the stadium? Is your chance to do so?
I think three things from me, if I may. So the first thing is an enormous thank you to the fans from the first council meeting, or the week before the first council meeting last year, through to last Tuesday was a journey. And it was only worth making the effort if we knew fans wanted us to. If nobody had bothered protesting this in the first place, then what's the point in us trying to save the stadium, and what's the point of us even continue as a club? But it was very clear what the club meant to everybody, and that spurred us on throughout our decision making. So I think, you know, a genuine heartfelt thank you to the fans for making us feel like there's a club worth fighting for, and sort of spurring us on to make the extra efforts to get you the stadium deal that you as a fan base and as a community deserves. I think that's the first thing I want to say. In relation to Saturday, yes, it is going to be our sixth Saturday sellout in a row, which is 300% more sellouts in one season than we've had in our entire 10-year history up to this point, which is extraordinary. So we've sold out three times as many games in the last six Saturdays as the previous 10 and a half years. And that says an enormous amount about you, the fans. It will be a great atmosphere. The game kicks off half an hour later, but we're opening the gates at the usual time. So we want to see people in there early. There's going to be music. We want to create the atmosphere. And I noticed it in the last game that everyone was pretty much in their seats for the anthem and for the start, which isn't always the case because people are getting beers or they've got in late. And I think having it ready to go means a lot to the players. And I expect to see that on Saturday. And, you know, I know Coach said it on here, but the players notice it. And if you can fill it up, then it definitely helps them do their jobs. And I think the third thing, I can't really say very much about it, is even in a week like this, where we've just had the stadium deal and now we've got, you know, a home playoff game, there's some very interesting and exciting news that will be breaking later this week, which I think will be of real interest to the fans of this club and the people of Orange County and beyond.
Awesome, Dan. Thank you for joining us again. Let's keep this this run going. I know you have no control of the player aspect of it, but let's hope for some more home matches as we get through and deeper into the playoffs. And hey, let's add that second star to the crest and enjoy 2023 like we did 2021. Ladies and gentlemen, English Dan from your Orange County Soccer Club front office, thank you so much, Dan, for joining us.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. We're going to wrap things up here because we went late. Wait, we had two great guests, so we had to go a little bit late. Couldn't help it. We're going to do quick 15-second max random thoughts as we wrap things up. Dylan, go.
Hey, Rugby World Cup semifinal this coming weekend. So you got something to do during the day before the evening match.
There we go. Larry?
October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. For any of the ladies out there watching, get yourself checked. For guys out there, get yourself checked because it happens to men as well. This is something that is very near and dear to my heart. I lost my mother to breast cancer. Actually, tomorrow is the 6th anniversary of her passing. Both of my sisters are survivors. I have 4 female cousins who are 35 and above who all are still fighting their fight. So keep the fight up. That's why I'm wearing the pink tonight. That's where I got my pink scarf that I picked up in Monterey tonight. Get your mammogram. There you go. That's it.
Brad, random thought.
Larry took my 15 seconds, but go listen to the Struts. They're pretty awesome.
Yes, they are.
My random thought, hey, I drank my glass of my lucky rum tonight, which is part of all the wins we've had recently. So hopefully we kept the thing going. Now I need to buy a new bottle because it is now empty. So I will need to get one for the next episode. Or I will be at the stadium this weekend cheering the team on. I will be sort of near Carolina Coalition. I'll be in that seated section that's caddy corner, I guess, or over across the bushes from y'all. So it'll be awesome. Hey, thanks to everyone tonight. Obviously, my co-host Dylan, Brad, Larry, my producer Andy, also our special guest tonight, Coach Morten Carlson, and Dan from the front office, Dan Rustine. From the front office. We appreciate that. All the listeners that participated with us as well. Thank you so much. This is the Orange and Black Soccer Cast. We are out.